All right, we're going to continue we're going to conclude our series today called Pathways to Health. And let me confess something to you right up front. I kind of disguise this series a little bit. Some of you know that, and some of you don't know that. The actual name of this series is called Road to Recovery. And it is some of the material that is used in Celebrate Recovery. In fact, what we have talked about over the last 8 weeks are the 8 principles that Celebrate Recovery uses to help people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups overcome those. I've called it Pathways to Health. And I've changed it up just a little bit because a lot of times when you hear Celebrate Recovery, you just kind of shut down and quit listening because you think to yourself, I don't have an alcohol or drug problem. This is not for me. But I want to tell you something. This has nothing to do with drugs. It has nothing to do with alcohol. There are other problems out there that are just that will cause you to have an unhealthy lifestyle. We talked about it. Perfectionism, overworking, overeating, sexual addictions, all of these kind of things will cause you to have unhealthy lifestyles. Anger. There's so many things in life that cause us to be unhealthy. And God wants us to be healthy. Did you know that? God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be healthy spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. He wants you to be healthy. He wants us to be whole. In fact, the word salvation is soteria, and it means to be made whole. W-H-O-L-E. It don't mean to be made half. And there's a lot of Christians that they've been born again, and their spirit man is alive unto God. But their whole lifestyle is all messed up. And it has nothing to do with drugs or alcohol. It has to do with unhealthy habits that we have embraced. And they may have been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Or maybe we have, because of poor choices, have chosen things that have caused us to become unsound and unhealthy. So we, over the last few weeks, we've shared some things with you. Let me go back real quick over some of this stuff. Number one, we call it the realization principle. And the realization principle is, number one, I'm not God. There is a God, and I'm not Him. And many times you say, well, I know that. Yeah, but we live as though He doesn't exist. We live our lives without His input in our life. See, because our tendency is to make poor choices. Because we, by nature, seem to be very selfish. And one thing I've noticed about lost people, they're selfish. One thing that I've learned about a lot of Christians, they too tend to be selfish. We're influenced by the allurements that's in the world. We're influenced by the flesh. And we become very self-focused, self-centered, and it becomes all about me. Me, my, mine. And we make choices based on that, and then our lives become unmanageable. They get out of control, and we lose control of our lives. See, you're not capable of controlling your own life. Well, you can, but you'll mess it up. Because you do not have eternal perspective. You don't have all knowledge. You don't have all wisdom. Now, that is made available to us, but it comes through our relationship with Jesus. But we on our own, and you say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, this whole series has been aimed at Christians. Christians who have prayed the prayer, have taken the dunk in the tank, but yet, by and large, they live a defeated lifestyle. You got to realize God is God, and you're not God. And apart from God, you will make bad choices. And when we come to realize that, then we're ready for what I call the hope principle. And the hope principle has to do, well, if there's a God, then what does He think about me? And I don't know, depending how your spiritual upbringing, You know, there's a whole spectrum within Christianity. You know, there's the liberal perspective that whatever you believe is fine. Then I call all the way over here to this very legalistic perspective, is that everything you do, you're wrong, you're going to hell, and all of this kind of stuff. And there's everything in between. And so we have been shaped either by what we have been taught, what we have experienced, or maybe even what the devil tells us. You do know the devil talks to you, don't you? He does talk to you. He talks to your mind. And so we have been shaped in a lot of people's, a lot of Christians' perspective about God is that he doesn't really like me. He tolerates me, but he doesn't like me. But I've got news for you today. God loves you. Unconditionally, he loves you. And he loves you and he wants to do a work in your life. So when you realize that God loves me and that he has a plan for my life, and that's a great revelation to know that he cares about me, he cares about my problems, he cares about my sin, he cares about my hurts, he cares about my bad habits, he cares about my hang-ups, and he is willing to do something about that. And that brings us to the third principle, which I call the faith principle, where we make a decision to turn our lives and our will over to the care of God who loves us very much. Okay? So that we call that the faith principle. And then we go into this next thing where we begin to do an evaluation of our lives. I love the quote, an unexamined life is not worth living. And there's very few Christians that really examine their own lives. And I say this often. See, my job is not to judge you. My job is to get you to judge yourself. And I don't mean way in a condemning way. Because there's a lot of Christians who are always condemning themselves. They're always putting themselves down. They have no self-esteem. They have no sense of self-worth. Well, God believes that you are worth something. If he didn't believe that you're worth something, he would have never sent his son to die for you. And he thinks you're worth something. So we need to evaluate our lives. We need to judge our lives. And we need to be honest with ourselves. And we need to be honest with God. See, honesty starts with self. So I'm honest. I evaluate. And when I'm honest with myself, I'm going to see things about myself that are unhealthy. And I'm going to admit that to myself. I'm going to admit it to God. And I'm going to admit it to a person or people that I can trust. See, the confession principle is this. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, you don't tell everybody everything about your life because, you know, there are telegraphs and there's telephones and there's teleblabbermouth. So you don't want to, I mean, you want to pick somebody that you can trust, that you, or somebody that can hold you in accountability. You know, if you need a, and listen, let me say this. Whoever you choose needs to be the same sex that you are. Because that opens a whole can of worms that you don't need to get into, okay? So, you know, I could say, Eric, I'm struggling in this area. I want you to ask me questions. I want you to call me to accountability. I'm confessing to you that I struggle with eating. So I want you to ask me some questions. How much did you eat today? Hold me accountable in areas of life. You do know that overeating will kill you. Is anybody out there today? Okay. You know, you can overindulge in lots of things. You know, the Bible teaches a moderate lifestyle in everything that we do. And I understand about the overeating stuff, okay? I have battled with that on and off for years. And so I understand. Say, hey, hold me accountable in this area. So this is the evaluation stage. And then the next one has to do with learning to submit to the changes that God wants to make in our lives. Because God loves you like you are. He loved me when I weighed 287 pounds. That was not the issue of how much I weighed. I went to my pharmacist and he took my blood pressure and it was 160 over 120. How many of you know that's not good? He said, listen, you need to do something and you need to do it now. It was an unhealthy lifestyle. It was one that could cause heart problems, stroke problems. It could cause all kinds of problems. It had nothing to do with my salvation. It had to do with stewardship. And when you really begin to understand the Christian life, it's about a stewardship. It's about God entrusting us. Our spirits, our minds, will, and emotions, and our bodies. He's given us all of these things to manage. And we're supposed to steward this through our love for God. But He loved me just like I was, but He loved me too much to leave me like I was. So when I begin to submit to the changes that God wants to make in my life, then He can start working those things in me. Now that brings us to what we want to talk about today. And we're going to talk about patterns of relapse. Because I don't care what it is that you've had to deal with in your life, we always have the tendency to return to old, unhealthy practices in our life. If you are a perfectionist, your tendency will be to return to your perfectionism. See, sometimes you see your perfectionism as a strength. And I know people who need to be more perfectionist than they are now. But there are people who are obsessive, compulsive, perfectionist. I knew a lady one time that, I hope I'm not describing any of you. Clean pair of socks on the washer. They fall off in the floor. They have to be rewashed. Dude, let me tell you something. I believe in the 5-second rule. If I'm eating something that I like, I believe in the 5-second rule. If it falls on the floor, I got 5 seconds to pick that sucker up and eat it. Germs observe the 5-second rule. I'm not a perfectionist, okay? So, but there are people who are perfectionists about things, and they become obsessive and compulsive about that, and it becomes unhealthy. See, there are so many ways that we can have unhealthy lifestyles. We could be talking about anger. We could be talking about, sexual issues and porn issues and all kinds of things. I mean, you name it. We all have things that we deal with in our lives, and we need principles that we incorporate in our lives that bring us into a healthy lifestyle. So we're going to talk about patterns of relapse. And see, here's something that begins to happen. You adopt these principles that we're talking about, and you begin to work these principles, and you begin to get better. You don't have it completely dealt with, but you get a lot better. You lose 50 pounds, and you get to feeling better about yourself. And then the first thing of relapse is that it's not totally dealt with yet, but I'm more comfortable with where I'm at, and I quit praying about it. I quit working on it. I quit talking to the person that's holding me accountable. And I become, here's the word, complacent. Don't you know we all deal with complacency in areas of life? There are people who go through areas of spiritual complacency in your life. At one time, you were studying the Word of God. You were growing. You were putting stuff in. And, you begin to grow and you're all proud of yourself because here I am. I'm a spiritual giant now. I know I hadn't arrived, but boy, compared to Jim, I'm a giant. And I just get kind of satisfied with where I'm at. And you begin to settle into this complacency. And see, this is the first step on the road to relapse of whatever your habit happens to be. And then the next area is confusion. See, I began to rationalize about certain things. I began to lie to myself. Remember that one of the principles that we talked about is being honest with yourself, your evaluation. But I began to say, you know what? That wasn't so bad when I was 287 pounds. I could probably handle a toke every now and then. I could probably handle a drink. I could probably, and you begin to rationalize, and you begin to play mental games with yourself. That's the devil. You're right, and that's what we do. We start playing these mental games. So that leads us to the third area of our going back into what we call relapse to the old lifestyle is compromise. We find that we put ourselves in a place of temptation. We put ourselves in the place of temptation. If your trouble is alcohol, you say, well, you know what? I'm not going to drink, but I'm going to go back to... You go back to where they serve it. Or you say, well, I'm not going to smoke dope, or I'm not going to take crack, or I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to go hang out with my buddies, and I know that they're not going to talk me into it. Or I would say, you know what, I'm not going to gain all that weight back, but I sure going to go over here at Walmart where they have all those cakes and the pies, and you know, they cook all of those things, and I just want to look at them. See, I put myself in that place of compromise. And we do that. We put ourselves where that place where we can be tempted. Now, we've already played the mental games. We're already lying to ourselves about this stuff. And then we put ourselves in the place where we're tempted. Then the next step is the catastrophe. We partake. We get drawn back into that old lifestyle. That old lifestyle. You know, one thing I've always noticed, and I can't talk about drinking or doping or stuff like that, but I can talk about eating. One thing I've noticed, and I've probably in my lifetime have lost a couple hundred pounds. But one thing I've noticed, that here's the tendency, that when you really do good and you kind of relapse into your old lifestyle, you gain more. You ever notice that? You gain more. You're worse off than you were when you started. You don't go back to that level. You go beyond that level. And that's the tendency that we have in our unhealthy choices in our lifestyle. So let's talk a minute about the causes of relapse. Number one is reverting to one's own willpower. Remember the very first principle that we talked about. Because that's what we live by. We live by our own willpower. We didn't hook into God's power. We live by our own willpower. And in essence, we were kind of like our own God. And we instead of remembering the principles that we talked about a while ago, we go back and we say, you know what? I can handle this. I've got news for you. You can't handle it. You can't go back to your old lifestyle and be moderate. I have seen over and over. See, I've been around this recovery stuff. And I'm talking about drugs, alcohol. I worked in a couple of recovery places. White River Medical Center used to have a place at the old Gray's Hospital, and I did chaplain work and did fifth steps over there. And then when that went down, we had Blue Creek Recovery Ranch, and I worked in that. And then, 5 years ago now, we started Celebrate Recovery here in the church, and I've been involved with that. So I have observed. I've been an observer of people over time. And I see people who maybe go into some kind of treatment. They go to John 3:16. They go to Renewal Ranch. They go to one of these Luke 4:18 and now John 3:17. One of these places, and they go in and they get cleaned up and they learn the principles and they're working the principles, and they come back out and they're doing good. And then you see them relapse into the old lifestyle. You see, and I see it because they quit doing the things that they did while they were there. They think, okay, I've got it now. God, I don't need your principles now. God, I don't need you now. I've got it. No, you don't got it. See, healthy living means that you keep going back and you keep working the same things that got you there. Vince Lombardi. How many of you know who Vince Lombardi is? He was Hall of Fame football coach for the Green Bay Packers. One of the greatest coaches that probably ever lived. Said every year when he would come in to, when they would begin the spring training for the Green Bay Packers, he would come in, hold a football up and say, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Well, they knew that. They were professionals. But you know what he did? You know what one of the secrets of his coaching? He always went back over the basics. Always went back over the basics. And a lot of times we think as Christians that we're too mature to go back to the basics. See, there are things that you forget. There are things that you quit doing that got you to where you are. And when you quit doing those things, you start going backwards. You may be sitting here thinking you're all that, and you don't really realize that the stream of indifference is pulling you right back down, and you don't even realize it because it's so gradual. So what we do is we say, okay, I did all of that stuff, and I got here, and I'm doing this. I don't need to do it anymore. You revert back to willpower. That is a bad step in going that direction. Then the second one is that we ignore one or more of the principles or all of the principles that got us to where we're going. Number three, we try to recover without support. One thing, and I know, and I don't know how many of these places do it, but if they're not doing it, they need to do it. And I'm talking about the people who go through some kind of treatment for addictions. See, one of the things that they need to do when they get out, the first thing they need to do is they need to find a home church. They need to find a support group, because when you are in John 3:16, let's just take John 3:16. We love John 3:16, support John 3:16. We were the first church that ever supported John 3:16. And we have supported it monthly ever since. Okay? I believe in John 3:16. You can go in there and you live in a bubble for 6 months to a year. You come out of that bubble, then you start facing some realities that are out here. You need to be around people that can support you, that understand what you've been through. That's why, see, we are social creatures by nature. We as people, we're social creatures. And whatever our hurt habit, hang up, our unhealthy lifestyle is, we need to find somebody that we can identify with that can help us and support us through that. When I run into things that I don't know what to do here, I've got people that I can resource that can help me overcome the things that I don't know and don't understand. People who have been there and done that. See, that's even in success that we need to do that. Because even when you become successful, you can become complacent in your success. And when you become complacent in your success, you kind of start going backwards again. And we don't need that. We need to be going forward. How many of you know God wants us to be increasing? He wants us to be growing. He wants us to be going forward in the things of God. Can I get an amen from this quiet crowd today? Thank you. Thank you so much. Then the next thing is that we become prideful. You know, the Proverbs tells us that a haughty spirit and pride goes before a fall. You see somebody prideful, they're in the mode of self-will. See, it tells us in the scripture, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. My success in Christ has to do with my constant connection with Him. It's not self-power, it's Holy Spirit power. I need Holy Spirit power in my life to be what I'm supposed to be. And so do you. Okay, so let's talk about maintaining our health. There's three things that I want to talk about real quick. We got about 10 minutes. I want to talk about these real quick, share some scripture with you. Number one is evaluation. Oh, I did that. I evaluated myself. Listen, we're talking about adopting these things as a lifestyle. You know, if Jim comes to me and he says, Pastor, you're arrogant. You know what the first thing I need to do instead of slapping him? You know what the first thing I need to do is? I need to step back and I need to evaluate what he said. He could be wrong. I'm sure he is. But what if he's right? See, I have to be willing to evaluate that. I need to be able to evaluate that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. This is from the Message. It says, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not merely hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. I hope the test won't show that we have failed. But if it comes to that, we'd rather the test show our failure than yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you. We couldn't possibly do otherwise. See, we constantly have to be evaluating and testing our own hearts. And especially if somebody says something to it, evaluate it before you dismiss it. Pride will dismiss it without evaluation. We need constantly evaluating ourselves. Galatians 6:4 says this, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. We love comparing ourselves against somebody else. Let me tell you how a church can start backwards. Now, we're one of the largest churches in town. I could take pride in that. And I could say, you know what? We're one of the largest churches in town. We're reaching more people. We're reaching as many people as any other church in this town. Glory. And we could come complacent about that. And, you know, say, I could say, you know what? We run more people than such and such church, and such and such church, and such and such church. We have better programs than such and such church, and such church. Well, let me tell you about people, programs. Things change. And when we quit evaluating, when we quit asking ourselves questions, and we just kind of coast along because things change, customs change, methods change, and you can be practicing a method that is archaic, that is turning people off and not reaching. I'm not talking about message. I'm talking about method. The message never changes. It's eternal. Amen. But the methods change. Styles of music change. Everything changes. But when we get to thinking that what we're doing is the ultimate. No. 5 years from now, things need to look different than they do today. 10 years from now, things need to look different than they do today. And that needs to be the way that we do our lives, because your life changes. You're getting older. Have you ever noticed you're not getting younger? You're getting older. There are phases of our lives. But if we don't evaluate that, if we don't navigate that, if we don't test our own hearts, we're not going to grow. So what do we need to evaluate? We need to evaluate the physical. Am I practicing healthy physical things in my life? We need to test the emotional. Am I hurting? Am I exhausted? Am I angry? Do I have resentment in my life? Am I tense? See, we need to ask ourselves some questions about our emotional well-being, and then our relationships. Let me tell you, just honestly, if Eric has a problem with Leslie, and Eric has a problem with Nancy, and Eric has a problem with Fish, and Eric has a problem with Kathy, and Eric has a problem with Jim, could it be that Eric has a problem? Reckon there's a relationship problem with it. Have you ever seen somebody that they're always having problems with their relationships? And they're always blaming somebody else for their relationship stuff. Maybe, we need to look at ourselves. Just a thought. A deep one. And then the spiritual. Well, I'm saved. I didn't ask you if you're saved. I know a lot of saved people that are not very spiritual. I know a lot of saved people that are more religious than they are spiritual. And I don't mean that in the world sense, that you make up your own religion, your own spirituality. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Word of God in our hearts shaping us. So evaluation is very important. And the second habit that we need in our lives is meditation. Now, I'm not talking about transcendental. Let me share a couple of scriptures. Psalms 1. Happy are those who reject the advice of evil people, who do not follow the example of sinners, or join those who have no use for God. Instead, they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they meditate in it day and night. Meditation is a lifestyle. Meditating in the Word of God. Thinking. You know, we do a lot of things that keeps us from thinking. We use a lot of things that keep us from thinking. See, the word, one another word for the word think is muse, M-U-S-E. It means to ponder, to meditate, to think, to ruminate, to chew your cud. That's how you digest. That's how cows digest stuff. They chew their cud. They eat it, then they bring it back up and they chew it, and they do that several times, and eventually they digest it. That's how we do things spiritually too. It's thinking on it, meditating, reflection, and reflecting on it. That's how we grow. And then Joshua 1:8 says, be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship, studying it day and night, and make sure that you obey everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. See, that another word for that word, study it, means to meditate in it day and night. See, whether we realize it or not, the instrument that God uses to change you is His Word. Why do we have you studying the Word? Why do we have you reading through the Bible this year and next year and the next year? See, I want that to become a permanent habit in your life. Not something that you do so that you can put a little mark up and say, I read the Bible. No, you need to read it every day for the rest of your life. It needs to become a perpetual principle habit, because it will give you something to meditate in and to think about. But the word muse means to think. The word amuse means not think. And we do a lot of things in our lives to amuse ourselves. You know what? How many of you like to go to movies? How many of you rather read the book? See, a lot of us had rather go to the movie with all of the sound effects and special effects, because what happens then is that we don't have to think. We let somebody else think, and then they entertain us with it. But you know what? When you read the book, I read the book Painted House, and then I saw the movie. The book was better. The book was better. Why? You know why? One of the reasons it was better, because when I read that book, I had to form my own pictures in my mind. I had to see it in my own mind. And when I saw the movie, I saw it through somebody else's mind. I had to think. I had to use my imagination. And this is part of meditation, is imagination. As we begin to meditate in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes it and uses it to transform our lives. Then the third principle that we need is the principle of prayer. Principle of prayer. And when I'm saying prayer, I'm not just talking about asking God for stuff. Prayer is a communication between you and God. Now, I'm going to say something here that might sound weird to some of you. But I believe that prayer ought to be an equal amount of talking to God and an equal amount of listening to what He says back to us. Now, let me tell you how to get God to talk to you. First of all, you put His Word in your heart, because God speaks through His Word. See, we got to give God something to work with. God gave us the vehicle of His Word to communicate His mind, heart, and will to us. And if you don't put anything there, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to draw on. The Holy Spirit will never bring to your remembrance a scripture that you've never read. That's a good spot to say an amen.
Amen.
That is, He has given us the scripture so that we can know His heart. So if you're putting the scripture in there, and you're praying about something, and you're talking to God, and He'll talk back to you and says, "It says in my word," and it'll make the connection. So we need, and here's how you stay healthy. You evaluate your choices. You evaluate your life. A constant way of doing that. Number two is meditating in the Word. Take time to think. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Turn the noisemakers off. And get in a place and think and meditate. And then communicate with God like you would someone that you were in love with. You remember the early days when you used to talk on the phone for hours and you loved each other's voices? And that's kind of like prayer. That's the kind of relationship that we ought to have with God. Amen. I'm done. I pray that God spoke to you through this series. And let me say, if you missed any of it, go on our website, believerscommunity.org. It's all archived on there. You can go and you can listen to it over and over and over and over again. I know that it's kind of old stuff to our Celebrate Recovery folks, but they need to hear it again too, because they have a tendency to relapse too, like the rest of us. Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray a prayer. It's time to flip this, because we got a new crowd coming in here in 30 minutes. We're going to start another service. So let me pray over you before we go today. Father, thank You so much that You love us so much that You've given us Your Word. And You've given us these principles that we can incorporate into our lives that will cause us to be healthy, and cause us to be productive, and cause us to be prosperous in the things of God. We love You today, Father, and we thank You for all Your blessing. Bless Your people as they go forth from this place today. I pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said a big loud amen.